Do you love fashion? Do you love getting compliments on how well you're dressed? Are you always seeking the latest trends? Then we're talking to you. BostonProper.com is your fashion destination and the only place to go for all those nods, head turns, and new styles. No matter the day, season, or occasion, Boston Proper has what you're looking for. Sophisticated, confident clothing designed to flatter and get noticed. So visit BostonProper.com now and start creating your perfect wardrobe. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.
Hey, everyone. Homes.com knows having the right agent can make or break your home search. That's why they provide home shoppers with an agent directory that gives you a detailed look at each agent's experience, like the number of closed sales in a specific neighborhood, average price range, and more. It lets you easily connect with all the agents in the area you're searching so you can find the right agent with the right experience and ultimately the right home for you. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. There's Chuck Charles W. Bryant.
Happy Leif Erikson Day.
Happy Leif Erikson Day to you too, Chuck.
And that is today is Leif Erikson Day. Mm-hmm. And if you remember, Josh, in our recent podcast on the first Americans, you made a little joke. Do you want to hear it?
Let's go back.
Okay.
You go back music. Columbus was beaten by a good 500 years by the Norse,
mm-hmm.
right? who were in Newfoundland.
That's not what we were taught in history in
Definitely
elementary
not.
School.
There's no Norse Day.
No.
No.
That'd be awesome, actually.
No Leif Erikson Day. I don't think there is.
Mm.
Not in the
not
U.S.
Here, no. So there you have it. And there is a Leif Erikson Day.
Yeah.
And we both have a little egg on our faces because we didn't know that. And it is today. And it's very ironic.
Yeah.
But people that wrote in said, I'm assuming it was a joke that you were saying.
I know. That's how we get away with most of the errors.
I'm going to write them all back and say, you caught it.
Gotcha.
You caught the joke.
Yeah. There was actually one guy, if you love delicious irony, who said he was making his Leif Erikson Day Viking hat while he was listening to that podcast.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Where the Clovis the first American. So, yeah. As you said, happy Leif Erikson Day to you, Chuck.
Yes. So, now for your intro, which I'm sure you had planned before I eviscerated you.
No, you pretty much, you eviscerated me, did you? Really?
Maybe, slightly.
Okay. Well, Chuck, how old's your house, man?
My house was built in 1932, I think. 1931 or 32.
Very nice.
Old house.
Yeah. The one I live in's from 1920, I believe.
You always got to show me up.
I know. I'm sorry, buddy.
Okay.
It wasn't intentional. You own, I rent. How about that?
All right. Well, that's the ultimate show up.
Exactly. Thank you for that, Chuck.
Sure.
And I've often wondered, like, what has gone on with this house? There's this mysterious tarp that goes across the entire property.
A tarp? Like a plastic tarp?
It's not plastic. It's woven. It looks like, you know what they use for silt fence?
Uh-huh.
It's just like that, except it's not standing up, and it's clearly it was purposefully laid down. And my house is on a hill, so I've often wondered, like, did they build this over an old dump? But did they even have dumps like that in 1920?
This is under the foundation of your house?
It doesn't go into the foundation, but it goes all throughout the yard. And like I said, it's on a hill, so it could be just to prevent erosion or something like
that. That's probably what it is.
I'm too lazy to ask the landlord what the deal is.
Have erosion in 1923?
No, they didn't. That was that started in the Great Erosion Fire of 1989.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Someone will believe that.
Probably. Happy Leif Erikson Day, Chuck.
You too.
But my point is I have no idea what's going on with my house or what went on in my house.
Me either.
I know it got a roof like a couple months ago, and that's all I know about the house.
So the history of your home is I got a roof a couple months ago.
Exactly, as far as I can tell. But I know some really interesting stuff has gone on there. Something can't stand for, almost 90 years and not have something interesting happening.
Agreed. You would hope.
Right. And I imagine the same is true for your house.
Yeah,
like, I'm
so.
Sure there's been squatting that had happened there before.
Perhaps.
And I know somebody who we could go talk to about this, and that somebody is your wife.
Yes. She wrote this article. That we're basing this on.
I apologize for that intro.
That's all right. Emily wrote this article, and she's a freelance writer for How Stuff Works,
mm-hmm.
proving it's who you know, Josh.
Agreed.
In order to get jobs.
To some extent, yes, especially if who you know is hands down the finest writer at HowStuffWorks.com. And also has the finest hair.
She knows Robert Lamb.
So, Chuck, let's talk about this. Why did I just mention your wife? Because, take it, Chuck. I'm trying to keep it on you.
I thought we just said because she wrote this article.
Oh, okay. I wasn't listening.
How to find the history of your house.
Gotcha.
On HowStuffWorks.com.
What'd she come up with?
Well,
should I just get Emily in here?
Yeah, we probably should, actually.
Okay.
She can teach you how to make soap and how to find the history of your house all at once. Well, you know, there are certain steps you can take, and we're going to go through those right now. Starting with, talk to your neighbors.
This new neighborhood, the neighbors, I don't know anybody. I don't talk to anybody. I mean,
right.
You mean I just moved in a couple months ago, but...
A classic neighborhood, though, that you live in.
It is, very much so. And I assume that the neighborhood would be much more community-oriented. Everybody's kind of doing their own thing, you know?
Right.
Everybody, like, kind of says hi when you're passing by. But it's also a thoroughfare for people to get from one place
sure.
to another. So I think that kind of lends this transient nature to it.
Right, to get people speeding through your neighborhood.
Right, exactly. And everybody's a stranger because of that.
Yeah.
At the last neighborhood, it was off of a major thoroughfare, and it was kind of isolated, and everybody knew each other. It was really cool. It
right.
reminded me of a neighborhood that you'd live in as a kid because you'd go out and play. Except playing involved, like, heavy drinking,
right.
That kind of thing. But, like, you had friends in the neighborhood, right?
Uh-huh.
It was cool like that. But there were some neighbors that had lived there since the 70s that I knew of and had spoken to. They weren't old-timers, but they were,
right.
I guess they had grown up there a little bit. They were like, yeah, this place used to be a hotbed for meth. There's
what?
Like I found out that there had been a thriving meth lab just a couple doors down
really?
From my house, my old house, yeah.
The one in East Atlanta.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So,
you can learn some interesting stuff about your neighborhood.
You sure can.
Yeah.
Just by talking to your neighbors.
Exactly. So that's step one.
Yeah, that's the easiest way to kind of get the ball rolling.
Right. Let's say your neighbors, if you try to go up to their house and even if you're greasing their palms with some cookies, they're like, get off my property.
Yeah.
Where do you go from there, Chuck?
Well, if you want to start your investigation in earnest with records, you should go find the records, which is at the county recorder's office.
Right. And Emily makes a good point. She says that although there's a lot of people who are into digging up the history of their home,
yeah.
I get the impression this is a lot like genealogy to some people.
Absolutely.
That there's not that many resources for old-timey information online.
No, you can't find a lot of these court records. You know, they're housed on paper in, you know, the depths of City Hall, usually. Mm-hmm. And no one has said, hey, maybe we should take the time to scan these and put them online.
Right. So what are we going to find at the county recorder's office?
Well, what you want to find is the deed history of your house.
Okay. You're going to find a guy in Birkenstocks with socks, like, playing a recorder.
You'll probably find that.
Sure.
You might smell some incense. And you want to get the deeds and trace back the deeds to the original owner, if that's what your ultimate goal is.
Right.
To find out who originally built or owned your home.
You're also going to find on file, and what you would take, I guess, is your plot number or your address.
Which could change, though.
It can change, which is why it's a good idea to know your plot number. That doesn't change.
Right. I would say, actually, if you have a house that's 75, 80 years old, chances are your address did change.
Yeah.
Over the years.
Especially if they doled it out kind of haphazardly at
sure.
first.
Sure, parceled it out.
The when somebody builds a new house or something like that, nobody likes to be, you know, 735 and a half
right.
Maple Street. No one
I was
to be
I was a quarter in L.A. My apartment
a quarter?
Was... Yeah, it was 27 something and a quarter.
Huh.
Because I was in a fourplex apartment building.
I thought below half they just started assigning letters.
Dude, this is L.A.
Gotcha.
I think they have eights and sixteenths. Maybe, I don't
People
know.
Just like cramped in
right.
linen closets, right?
Another thing you can look for, Josh, is have you ever heard of the Sanborn map?
I hadn't until I read this, and I went and did a little research on Sanborn.
Give me the skinny,
by God, then. They were interesting.
Yes.
The Sanborn Map Company was out of Michigan, I believe, and they serviced, and not in any kind of dirty way, the fire insurance industry.
Yeah. Apparently, insurance maps were big as a whole back then.
Yeah. If you were, you know, located in Delaware, if your insurance company was located in Delaware and you had somebody in Taos, New Mexico who wanted fire insurance from you, what are you going to do? Send some guy out to look at every single one? No. You contract with the Sanborn Map Company
yep.
to make maps of 12,000 cities and towns around the United States.
Between,
and they did it from 1867 to 1970.
That's pretty comprehensive.
Hand-drawn aerial maps. And these things were detailed, man. I mean, like, they look like land use maps of today.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's not the little tiles drawn in or bricks or anything like that. But, I mean, like, they're detailed, like, here's the closest fire hydrant. Here's how many sprinklers this house has. Here's where the windows are.
Right.
Here's what the building nearby is used for. I was looking at one. I can't remember what town it was, but there was like the foundry or the old foundry.
Uh-huh.
And it said like vacant. And then there's the other foundry nearby. And here's these houses. It's a drawing of a city.
Right.
And they did it all over the place.
Yeah.
And again, they did it for the fire insurance industry, but these towns also got copies of these maps and a lot of them have them on file.
Totally. And I think because it was for the fire insurance, it was why you get detail like where the windows and doors were.
Sure.
And I think it also says what materials your house was made of.
Right. They also did them in Mexico and Canada. They also did maps on sugar refineries in places like Cuba and whiskey distilleries throughout the country.
Cool.
Because those things tend to explode.
Sure.
And, yeah, the Sanborn Company basically made it so that you can find what your house looked like any time during this period or what else was around it. It's really cool because they also included street names and addresses.
Right.
So if your city has a Sanborn map, you are in luck.
Yes. Agreed.
All right. Game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Do you love fashion? Do you love getting compliments on how well you're dressed? Are you always seeking the latest trends? Then we're talking to you. BostonProper.com is your fashion destination and the only place to go for all those nods, head turns, and new styles. No matter the day, season, or occasion, Boston Proper has what you're looking for. Sophisticated, confident clothing designed to flatter and get noticed. So visit BostonProper.com now and start creating your perfect wardrobe. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.
The other thing you can do is, well, if you are able to trace the deed back to the original owner, you can go to the internet then if you've got a name. It's always worth a try.
Oh, definitely.
Because you never know if someone back then was noteworthy enough to be included somewhere in the historical records on the net.
Right. You if you can't get the deed, but you can, if you have other records like surveys,
sure,
tax assessors, census.
Yeah,
records,
that's a big one. Uh-huh.
They'll have the names and ages and occupations of everybody in the house.
Occupation, that's kind of cool.
It is very cool. What would we be?
What would we be back then?
Yeah.
Oh, I was a cobbler for sure.
Were you?
Yeah, yeah.
Cooper.
Really?
Sure.
Wow. I underestimated you.
Jerry, what about you? She has no idea. And also you can find the occupations of the people who own the house through a reverse telephone book.
Yes, the Polk reverse telephone directory.
Yeah, did you know about these?
I had no idea.
It's just such a smart thing, and it sounds so old-timey. Reverse telephone directory.
Yeah, and that means you can search by the address if you don't have the name.
Right, you search by address, and then it takes you over
to
the name.
And that'll be at your library. So now we've moved on from the county courthouse.
I'm sorry, I forgot to tell everybody we're at the library.
We're at the library.
Over here.
That's why it's so quiet.
Yeah.
So that's where you can find the Polk directory, and that's where you can find the occupation, which I think is probably one of the more interesting things.
Well, you can in the census records, too.
Well, what if you can't find it?
All right, so now you've got – we're in the library still.
Oh, that's right. Sorry.
Now you've got the name or one of the names of one of the homeowners who lived in the house before you.
Yes.
Now it can get interesting.
Right, because I suggested the Internet. If the Internet comes up empty – which it likely will, or not likely, but it may.
It might.
that means you need to look at something called microfiche.
Yes.
And if you're under, I'd say probably 30 years old, you probably have no idea what microfiche is.
So microfiche is, it's microfilm. I don't know why they call it microfiche instead of microfilm.
Someone will know and we'll find out.
Yes. Basically, it's a ton of information on a very tiny strip, and you use a little magnifying glass. Actually, it's not a little magnifying glass. It's kind of big.
It's housed in a machine.
Right. You can spin through. You got this cool little dial.
It was so
super
awesome.
Old-timey. And you can spin through and find newspaper clippings.
Yeah.
Right?
You used to use it, I'm sure, too, right? In the early days
before.
Of research?
Yeah, I was never a microfiche whiz, but I have used it.
It's pretty fun.
But you have to cross-reference it. Like, you look for what you're looking for, and then
right.
you go through, like, a decade of newspapers on one film.
Right.
And you can find press clippings about the whoever's owned your house.
Yeah.
You might find that there was a murder there, or that there were several murders there.
Right.
Because, frankly, Chuck, isn't that what everybody's doing in house history is ultimately looking for?
You know what's funny? I should show you my note right here. The real reason is to find out if anyone's been murdered there.
Exactly.
That's the number one reason I would say anyone would look at their house history.
I would say let's cut to the chase, but man, it took us a long time to get to the ultimate point.
I know.
Yeah.
I do have one more point about microfiche, though.
Oh, okay.
Because a lot of people think they're like Google masters and, ooh, I research on Google and I'm so good at it.
Right.
You don't know research, dude, until you get on microfiche.
Right.
That's where it's really hours and hours in the library. And it'll seriously test your investigative skills.
Yeah, these people who, like, write a book based on a year of experience, that they took a year out of life
sure.
to, like, go do something.
Right.
And then they wrote a book about it.
Yeah.
Those people don't know writing a book. Talk to, like, Norman Mailer. Go talk to, like, Robert Woodward.
Sure.
Go talk to these people who actually had to go do research on microfiche.
Yeah.
And didn't just blog about something they were doing for a year.
Right.
It's not writing a book. That's called lucking out. It's called dropping out.
Wow.
So, Chuck,
yes.
microfiche. Are we done with that part?
Yeah, I think so. The library is also where you're going to find the census records, though, that you were talking about.
Wait, I thought that'd be at the City Hall.
It could be in both, actually.
Okay.
If you strike out at the City Hall, you can look at the library.
The City Hall.
At the City Hall. And the other thing you can look at the library is look up some books. There may be a book called The History of Eastlake in Atlanta.
Sure.
And start thumbing through it. And there may be a picture of your house and, you know, the original mayor of Eastlake lived there.
Yeah. And when you find that out, try to contain yourself. Remember, you're in a library.
Right.
Don't shout. Funny you should bring up Eastlake, Chuck. Because, number one, that's where you live.
Indeed.
And number two, Emily wrote about Eastlake. She did some research on Eastlake, right?
Yeah, I think she, in order to write the article, she just did a little digging around about her own hood to kind of live the experience, maybe.
And she found out some pretty cool stuff, actually. I had no idea.
She did. Eastlake is probably best known now as the home of the Eastlake Country Club. Old country club, host of the recent PGA tournament there.
They've been hosting it for a while, right?
Yeah, they usually have one tournament there every year, but now I think they finish the season there every year.
Oh, okay.
Or at least
so,
for now.
So Tiger Woods was just in town, huh?
He was right across the street from me.
He's got a foul mouth.
He does, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to make a couple of $100 parking cars in my yard.
That's right. Last year, Chuck set up a Bloody Mary stand in his front yard and was able to sell one before the cops came and took the joint down. Chuck Bryan is what we call a hustler.
I thought that was a sterling idea.
It was a great idea, except, you know, you didn't have a liquor license.
Yeah, that was the only rub there. So, yeah, I was shut down toot sweet. So, Eastlake, as it turns out, back in the day, the turn of the century, it was a farm 5 miles outside of the downtown center of Atlanta.
As was most of America at the turn of the last century.
Absolutely.
We should say the last century.
Sure. And it had two creeks and a 5-spring watershed, and the owner of a streetcar company in Atlanta bought this farm. He dammed it up and created a lake and, like, a beach community around this lake.
Yeah.
And
an old-timey beach community.
Yeah, built hotels, and it was actually one of the first, quote-unquote, suburbs of Atlanta, which is funny because the suburbs in Atlanta now are, you know, 40 miles away.
Yeah, if you're a fan of urban sprawl, you're going to love Atlanta.
Yeah, but Eastlake is Atlanta now. It's not considered by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh, very much so. 5 miles from downtown is like that.
It's just a neighborhood.
Although I suspect with traffic the way it is, it takes as long to get downtown from Eastlake these days as it did in 1900.
Nah, are you kidding me?
No.
I just shoot down to Cab Avenue, turns into Marietta, and you're there.
You're crazy.
So the horse and buggy, that was quicker, you think?
Yeah.
Okay. Now you have hopefully found out the owner of your house, the original owner. You've gotten some information, and you may have gotten some information on the building of your house. Because you said the reason you would really want to find out to see if anyone was killed there. There are other reasons, too, like you were talking about architecturally.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of architectural oddities many times in these old houses.
Definitely.
That don't make any sense unless you find out the history of the home.
Yeah, Emily says that you might find out that your kitchen is where your living room used
sure.
to be, which explains some of the odd angles. Was she talking about your house? Or was that just out
of
her
imagination? No, actually, we don't really have anything that odd.
No.
Except for the flooding issue in the basement, which I can't figure out. But, like, something more interesting. Let's say you have a window in your this little tiny closet. And you think, why would there ever be a silly little window there? And then you find out that it was a backroom distillery during Prohibition or
Sweet.
Something. You never know.
The house I grew up in as a child in Toledo
uh-huh.
had a secret passageway.
No way.
I kid you not. In the back of a linen closet, which the walls in the back were painted black,
uh-huh.
If you pushed on the back wall, you went through a little door and you crawled through and you were on the steps going down to the basement on the other side of the house.
So, well, how old was the house, do you know?
I don't, actually.
You're like, 70s ranch.
I don't think so. No, it was definitely 50s at least.
Right.
Yeah, but it was fun to play hide and go seek in there.
Well, if you have some architectural oddity in your home and you're into this kind of thing, it'd be worth looking into for sure.
Definitely. Also, if you are a renovator and you've been tasked with restoring a house, I mean, how else are you going to find out?
Yeah, if you're really big into conservation mm-hmm. and you have a, let's say, an old Victorian home and you really want to bring it back to its former glory, you should, respect the original plans of the house.
Definitely. And you can also charge an arm and a leg if you do all this extra research to renovate to the original state.
Absolutely.
And Chuck, one last thing I wanted to mention. Ghosts.
Sure.
I didn't know this.
I didn't either.
In California and Hawaii, you are required to disclose any ghostly activity in a house when you're selling it.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I didn't either. But if you suspect that there's ghostly activity in your house and you don't live in any of these states, you might go back and find out that there was that murder that you've been looking for.
Yeah, and how cool is that?
Murder part or the
ghost
part? Yeah,
if you found out someone was murdered in your house, wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
That wouldn't scare me. I'd think it was neat. Unless, obviously, it turned into like an Amityville Horror type of scene. But
well, sure.
But you would have
blood
known
coming
something.
Out of the wallpaper?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's a good reason. I would say if you have blood coming out of your wallpaper, that's a good reason to research the history of your
Get
house.
To work.
And the other final reason, I think, is if you might find out that someone famous used to own it or someone famous might have stayed there, and you could potentially get it listed as a historical site
mm-hmm.
and save that house forever.
Yeah. I'll bet your house ends up on the register in 50 years.
Nah.
Okay.
But I'm going to find out the history of it, though.
All right. Are you really?
Yeah, I'm going to look into it when I have some
You're
time.
Not just saying that?
Well, do I usually not follow through my podcast promises?
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Do you love fashion? Do you love getting compliments on how well you're dressed? Are you always seeking the latest trends? Then we're talking to you. BostonProper.com is your fashion destination and the only place to go for all those nods, head turns, and new styles. No matter the day, season, or occasion, Boston Proper has what you're looking for. Sophisticated, confident clothing designed to flatter and get noticed. So visit BostonProper.com now and start creating your perfect wardrobe. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.
Well, if you have a really interesting history for your house and you want a little more detail, you can read Emily's article how to find the history of your home.
Yeah.
You can type that in the handy search bar at howstuffworks.com.
Go find a Sanborn map just to look at them.
Yeah, they are pretty interesting. Very you can much. Find them online in some cases, not all. And since I said handy search bar, that means, of course, that it's time for listener mail.
Listener mail, Josh. Before we do that, I just wanted to say that give a special thank you to the boys and the Henry Clay people.
Oh, yeah. I'm holding their koozie right now.
Right. If you remember a few weeks ago, we mentioned that some band in Southern California wrote us, and they were fans of the show. And I liked the CD, and I tried to get everyone together to go to the performance, which was a few nights ago. And I was the only one able to make it, unfortunately. So I met the boys in the band. I met Joey and Andy, the two brothers, and I met the drummer. I believe his name was Mike, and that was the only other guy I met. Hung out, had some beers. They're super cool kids.
Yeah.
Very, very talented. And remember, we said that we were going to be at that show, and we actually had two fans come out seeking us out.
Yeah, and you introduced your friend Justin to them as me, right?
As Josh. I thought it was kind of funny. This lady comes up in the lobby after the show when I'm hanging out with the band, and I think her name was Jeannie. And Jeannie, if I got that wrong, I apologize. I had a few beers at that point. And Jeannie and her husband came up and introduced themselves, and they were super nice and very complimentary. And they came to the show on our recommendation and for a Josh and Chuck sighting.
Sweet.
So in the city of Atlanta, we had two people interested in coming to see us.
It's awesome.
Which was pretty cool.
Well, that's not bad. It's like 50% of the people in Atlanta listening to us. So
true.
It's not a bad
and it was cool. I talked, you know, me and my band stuff. I just peppered them with questions about being in a band. And
right.
We hit it off. I feel like an honorary Henry Clay person.
Sweet.
And you may meet him in December if you come to L.A. with me.
I'm not.
You're not going to be able to come up?
No.
Ah.
So you got any letters?
Yeah, I got a letter.
Okay.
This is from Emily, and we're going to say her last name because it's a special thing. Emily Friedendahl wrote us, "I've been a big fan of the podcast since I discovered them in July. I was working a temp job, filing and making binders for 8 hours at a time in a back room of a lighting company."
What?
Not fun. The podcast helped her get through all this. We get a lot of these emails, people with boring jobs. And she thanks us for that. And then she says, "In fact, it got me so excited about How Stuff Works and the topics you covered, I decided it would be kind of a dream gig to be able to write some of the articles that you cover. So I went online, submitted materials to be a freelance writer, and I just found out a few hours ago that I was accepted."
All right, she's a colleague. Huh?
She's a colleague.
That's
Emily
awesome.
Is now a coworker, and she says she can't wait to start rolling on a project and have you guys to thank for inspiration and for helping me put myself out there. And I emailed her a few times and told her congratulations, welcome aboard, and you know, we'll try and pick out one of our articles to podcast on.
That's awesome. Congratulations, Emily.
So she's a coworker officially.
Sweet. Chuck, is that the only letter you got?
Yep.
Okay, let's plug Kiva.
Yeah, go ahead.
So Chuck had the bright idea of setting up a Kiva.org Stuff You Should Know team. And if you're not familiar with Kiva, it is a micro-lending website. It's a nonprofit, meaning you don't get any return on investment, but you do get your investment back.
If you choose.
And loans as small as $25 go to fund bigger loans for entrepreneurs in developing countries.
Uh-huh.
And we talked about it on the micro-lending podcast. If you want to familiarize yourself with that, you can go listen to that one. It was pretty good. So you can go to www.kiva.org/teams/stuff-you-should-know, and you'll come to the Stuff You Should Know Nation's team page.
Mm-hmm.
You can donate whatever you want, as little as $25. And like I said, don't forget, this is repaid. The loan is repaid.
Right.
They also have gift certificates on Kiva.org, and it's a really good cause.
Yeah, and we've already got $750 donated.
I know.
And, what, like 20 team members?
Uh-huh.
And we're stoked, and we want to call out again the lousy Colbert Report.
And did you see that warning email we got from somebody?
Yeah, yeah, it was
great. Like, do you know what happens when you call out Stephen Colbert?
Yes, you get his attention, which is exactly what we're trying to do. So we're calling them out, and there is lousy fans who are cheap, and we want to bury
except
them.
Except for the ones that cross over between that
sure,
we share.
Of course. So we want to beat them and get their attention and challenge them to a Kiva off.
So if you have an interesting story about your house, if there is a murder there, Chuck and I definitely want to hear about it. Have any suggestions about the Kiva team, let us know. Or if you just want to say hi, unicorns, tornadoes, torpedoes, any of that stuff, send in an email to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Want more HowStuffWorks? Check out our blogs on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Looking for a fabulous fashion brand that celebrates you? Then look no further than Boston Proper, where styles are designed with you in mind, so you can look and feel amazing, no matter the day, season, or occasion. At bostonproper.com, you'll find fashion that knows you best. For over 30 years, Boston Proper has been the fashion destination for confident women who want to elevate their look with unique, sophisticated clothing at affordable prices. Visit bostonproper.com today. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.
Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.